got to play golf on Saturday.
Oh, cool.
It's been a Saturday. Lovely day.
I mean, people that listen to this and don't know you, like, personally, like, haven't hung out with you, don't realize how, like you're actually, like, a really good athlete, except for, like, ice skating.
any type of skating, anything with wheels, except for a scooter. I'm pretty good on a scooter. Not afraid of it.
But, like, inline skates or something like that, and
ice skating. I just stay away from those.
Yeah, you're not good at those. But, like, other than that, like, an athletic event, especially anything involving hand-eye coordination, you're going to go off. So I'm pumped that you got to play some golf, because you're good at that stuff.
Well, I haven't played in a while, but it was really fun. Thank you for saying all that, by the
way.
Yeah. No, everyone listening to this who's never seen me is getting, like, an image of who I am in their head, and it's just not true. But it was really fun because, you know, I just got to play with some good friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just guys being dudes.
Just guys being dudes out on the golf course and... You know, we had a good time.
Well, D-Rod was there, right?
Yeah, D-Rod
was
there.
I just have this...
He wore, you know, black long pants and a red shirt. A.K.A. Tiger Woods exactly. On a Sunday. Yeah.
Well, the thing... It's like, whenever... there's a thing in me that, like, whenever there's a moment, like a celebratory moment, there's an inner... I have, like, an inner D-Rod where the voice gets growly and, like... You know, he'll end a sentence with a word that's just like a total growl.
Yeah.
It's just such a fun, fun thought.
Yeah, it was really fun. We had a lot of fun. Our friend Bill was there, who's, I believe, listens to our show.
I think he dips his toe in every now and then if he hears that there was something good.
He just... We played another guy too. He was fine.
Yeah,
I mean, it was fun.
Did he borrow clubs or something, or
yeah, he for some reason played with left-handed clubs, but I think he needed right-handed clubs.
Okay.
And people, think he realized that. Yeah, it was tough. But it was a good. Here's the thing. I love golf.
Yeah.
The moment I get out on a golf course, like, we were at Oak Ridge Country Club.
Okay.
The moment I get out there, I turn my head around backwards and I untuck my shirt and I'm just like, what are you going to do? What are you going
to
do about it?
Oh, because golf has the etiquette of, like, you have to wear a collared shirt.
It's so annoying. Like, golf to me is one of the most fun sports. And there's many people listening to this who are rolling their eyes and they're fast forwarding, which is fine. I have pitches for golf all day. I think it's amazing. I think it's super fun. I think it's challenging in a way. Like, you know, it's like, if it takes 4 hours to play 18 holes of golf, you know.
Wow.
You spend 3 minutes actually doing the thing.
Oh.
Like, actually hitting the ball.
Hitting a ball.
All together. It's like 3 minutes.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, it's something crazy, like some statistic. So it's like, oh, there's a whole mental side of this that people don't realize.
Yeah.
You hit a crappy shot, you got a 5-minute walk to it, and you're thinking about it. And it's like, okay, how do I turn the page on that and then hit a good shot? You know, stuff like that, which I think is so fascinating. You're outside, there's birds.
Yeah.
And it is like...
Or if you're like Spence Ferguson, our friend who's in heaven now, who the 10th hole at Centennial was in the rough grabbing a ball and a copperhead bit him in the face. And he finished his round.
That's not why he's in heaven.
No. I should clarify.
Yeah. My pitch for golf just got ruined by...
I will say this. My experience with golf, literally pretty much every... I do not play golf. But pretty much every experience I've had with golf was with Potsy.
Yeah.
And him, he's the best teacher in, like, any activity.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'm imagine you're 38 years old. You're brand new at a thing people have been doing since they were four.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he tells you something, you put it into practice, you have a good shot. And what will happen is you'll look over at Potsy and really quietly he'll look at you and say, wow.
Wow.
And you just feel so encouraged.
Yeah.
Just the sweetest person ever to hang out with in that activity.
Yeah. Well, it's just like golf's amazing, except for how elite it is.
Ah.
And it stinks. It's stinky. Yeah. It's so yucky. To go to a place and then just to be like, you know, I've had people tell me, like, turn your hat around. You can't wear a hat backwards out here. Or, like, you know, it's just like stuff like that. I'm like, why? It's why? So why does it matter? Why does it matter? Am I offending you? Is my hat offending you?
Wasn't this sport invented in a country where men wear skirts?
I just gave you $75 to walk around on grass. So I can wear my hat however I want. Also, why the heck does it cost so much money to do this? You know, it's like golf is hurting itself and it's cannibalizing itself and it's going to, you know, and that's why our friend Austin White, who is busting his butt to get equipment for high schoolers and free stuff for high schoolers. Cause it's like, no 15-year-old can afford to do that.
Well, some of them can, but
yeah.
I think one of the things that terrifies me about golf is the thing that terrifies me about standing on second base in baseball or softball is just like when you're standing on second base and somebody's batting, I'm terrified in that moment. Cause I'm like, I'm going to get hit with a ball. I'm going to get hit the way you hit Jeffrey in the arm with that softball.
Yeah. I thought I killed my friend.
It was the grossest sound.
It's like when, you know, someone's about to, it's like that guy, the salt guy who used to be on Instagram, who would do that thing.
Yes.
He always like smacks the steak before he like drips the salt on it. And you're just like, whoa, that's the sound.
Yeah. Tom described a guy getting hit with a softball one time as it's like if you had a roast and you just dropped it on a concrete floor.
Yeah.
Just that sound. Just like,
well, it's unmistakable.
Yeah. But that terrifies me about golf too. It's just like, if that little white ball hit me, I would be dead.
One of the greatest, most like vindictive moments in my whole life. I played middle school golf.
Yeah.
Like actual, we would like play matches.
Right.
And I was playing in this little like group and one of the guys from the other team was like good and he knew it and he wasn't afraid to say anything about it and it was really annoying. You're just like, bro, this sucks. This is not fun. Like he just kept, and there was one guy in our group who was clearly not very good.
Right.
And he kept talking about him.
Oh,
just,
man.
Just to me. He would like nudge me and be like, look at that shot. And I'm like, I don't know you. Also, you're being a jerk. You know, like 13-year-old me had the wherewithal to be like, hey, you're being a jerk.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. And that's not me patting myself on the back. It was just like, that's how much of a jerk this guy was being. Just very obvious. And we were on the 17th hole at Centennial, right by Donna Judy's house.
Yeah.
And Jerk was like 50 yards down the fairway. Not so good was 50 yards back behind him.
Yeah.
And he hit a laser that squared the dude up in the shin. And that guy dropped. And I like, I had to like,
been shot with a gun.
Yeah. I had to turn away because I was like laughing at a human being who just got destroyed.
Just massacred.
It's like, imagine being shot by a paintball that's a rock and doesn't bust. You know, you're just like, oh.
Welcome to Ancient and New. Oh, this is not a golf podcast, but we're going to talk about some scriptures that have been grabbing our attention. And I hope you enjoy it. You got something for us?
Sure.
Take what us that? That. I don't know. You kind of, it's just like some of your inner Marshall coming out.
That's sweet. Okay. Yeah. This is interesting. We're going to be in Colossians 4.
Okay.
And I know that I've talked about this before. It's probably been 2 years at this point.
I mean, unless you're going to take us to the book of Second Chronicles, it's like, we're going to talk about things a couple of times. Yeah,
we're going to cover it. But like, I guarantee you, I'm not saying the same thing I said 2 years ago.
All right.
So, you know what? Here we go. Anyway, we're going to be in Colossians 4, verse 2.
Ready?
Let me skip around a little bit. Okay. Devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And later down in verse 6, he says, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. That's all I'm going to read. But I think like, I was talking about this with middle schoolers and high schoolers the other day. I'd read it and I just kind of wanted their feedback on it. It's fun to read something like that amongst younger folks, amongst anyone. Like, it's fun to read stuff like that out loud with 15 people and say, okay, what you got? And, you know, sometimes you have to correct theology and say, okay, that, you know, that's not actually true, or actually this is what this means or whatever. And it, you kind of have to like guide that and say, like, we're going to stay theologically sound, but I want to know like what you're getting out of this.
Yeah, and hit the ball around a little bit.
Yeah. And it was just fun. Like the thing I realize in there is like, if prayer is a conversation with God, it's just like us talking to him, right? Like that's a pretty simple definition of like what prayer is. Like I'm going to speak with God. I'm going to have I'm going to talk to him. I'm going to tell him what's going on. I'm going to listen for his spirit. I'm going to, you know, all those things. The idea of devoting myself to that was extremely, it felt like a gift. It was sweet. Cause I think when you hear the word devote, it can easily become like, wow, that's a lot. That's a lot. You know, like you are committing to a lot. So when I, you know, you read devote yourself to prayer, my first thought goes to like what, you know, some deep ingrained image of what prayer is in my mind, which at this point in my life I've corrected. Like somehow, you know, like at 27, I have fixed in my life what prayer is. But for some reason, the image of that in my head is still like, you know, I'm sitting down at dinner with my family and, you know, saying, Lord, thank you for this food. Bless it for our bodies and our bodies for thy service. You know, that type of deal. Or like, you know, I've got my list of people I'm saying thank you for and watch over right before I go to sleep, which are all great things. But when I rethought this and said like, okay, what if I devoted myself not to like this, like step by step, this is what I do thing with God. But what if I was devoted to always having a conversation with him? What if that's saying like, and like specifically Paul is saying, he's talking about in this instance, like his ministry, like, hey, and you know, the way other people should act towards outsiders to share the gospel and stuff like that, which, but I'm thinking like, what if the rest of my life I was devoted and committed to like, I'm just going to have a constant conversation with the Lord. Like when I'm in public and there's a lot of people around, I'm talking to him in my head. Like we're still talking. When I'm by myself in a car, I'm speaking out loud. When I am on a run, when I'm at the gym, whatever the thing is, like, what if it never stopped? There was a teacher at my high school growing up who every time I saw him and he wasn't in his classroom, he was on his phone. No one ever knew who it was.
I know exactly.
You're just like, it's like, I'm not, it's just a fact. You're just like, when I see you, you're on your phone. I don't know who you're talking to. Yes. I have no idea. I don't
know.
It's
constant.
Yeah. And like when you're getting into your truck, when you're driving in your truck, like all these things, like,
I'm so glad you said truck,
like sorry, car.
Confirmation.
But like it was one of those things as a high schooler. It wasn't like, you know, you didn't think anything bad about it. It's just like, I don't know who you're talking to. And it's, but like, that's kind of how I want to be. Like, I just want to have like, there's that episode of The Office where Jim and Pam are living in different cities and they buy the world's smallest Bluetooth speaker and they're talking that whole episode to each other. And Dwight is, he keeps saying like, who are you talking to? And Jim's like, I'm talking to Pam. And Dwight's like, Pam's not here, Jim. And he doesn't realize that he's got a Bluetooth speaker in. And that's kind of how I want to be. I'm like, what if I devoted myself to constantly just be like murmuring with Jesus and talking to him and asking him things. And before hard things, it would make my life, like I said, this felt like a gift to think about that. Like it would calm me before hard stuff. It would, make me more prepared for everything in my life. When outsiders approach, if I'm constantly having conversation with Jesus, it makes being seasoned with salt easier. Yeah. It makes grace easier. It makes all those things easier. It makes me more prepared for my day. It makes me more prepared for things that may pop up. There's been times in my life where like that thing about outsiders will happen. And then, you know, like that'll happen. I'll be wherever I am. And clearly something happens where someone who doesn't know the Lord pops up. And then 2 hours later, I realize, oh, I missed that. Like, not that I needed to proselytize this person and tell them the whole gospel in the middle of the grocery store.
If you died today, do you know?
Yeah. or like I needed to hold, you know, like hold a sign up and say you're going to hell or whatever the thing is. But like there are moments like that where I'll get 2 hours on the other side of it. And I'm like, oh, I did miss a chance there. I missed an opportunity.
Yeah.
I feel like if I'm, and maybe this is a too big of a stretch, but I feel like if I'm constantly speaking with the Lord, like it makes those opportunities, harder to miss. I don't know.
Yeah. I like the word devoted, because I was just trying to think of, like, in my world, who's devoted to something. And in, when you live in the Knoxville area, it's everybody about the Vols.
Yeah.
You know, they buy the merchandise, they read the message boards, they are on the Twitter accounts. Like that, like I remember when the coaching search happened, it was really interesting, because when the coach was announced, there was this kind of like mini explosion of people being really upset. And then, but I watched everybody get their emotions in check as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. They like, no, this is why it's going to be great. And this is why it's going to be exciting. And this is why it's going to be fun. And it was like, everybody was like kind of rallying each other and saying like, come on, let's do this. Let's buy in. Let's be here for this. And it's because they literally, and I'm not judging this up or down. They literally are devoted to UT Vols football, like devoted to it in such a way that their natural emotions, they whip them into shape and they get other people to go with them on that. And they write and read the articles and I'm wearing the shirt and I'm da da da, you know, I'm doing the thing, I'm reading, you know, whatever it is. And I love, you know, it's like, I love transferring that kind of thing into what you're talking about. Like, mm-hmm. like I'm going to devote myself to my conversation with Jesus. I'm going to get in shape with that, get in shape with like talking to him and turning toward him and, you know, and not just being prepared for conversations, but like on the back end of conversations, how did that go? How did you feel about it?
That's cool.
What did I miss? Let's evaluate it together. Like I think there's a thing in that devotion, and I like the word watchful too. It says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And it's like the way that you and Maddie go to a pool right now is about to completely change for the next 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're about to have a baby.
Yeah, I don't think we've said that on here.
We talked about that on
No, here? We haven't talked about that on here.
Am I allowed to say that?
Well, it's been said.
But Thomas and Maddie are about to have a baby, and it's like, you guys will never go to a swimming pool the same way for the next 2 decades.
Right.
When you go to a swimming pool right now, you hang out, you laugh with people, you're jumping in, you're jumping out, you're sitting in the sun, whatever, you're relaxed. You might close your eyes for a few minutes. That will never be the same for the next 2 decades.
Right.
You will be watchful. You will be on guard.
Right.
And I like the idea of being that way about your own heart, you know, just like in my conversation with the Lord, it's like, when was the last time we talked? It's like that Sarah Groves song, you know, like when was the last time we hung out? I want to devote myself to that. I like those words.
Cool. That's all I got.
Nice. I want to look at something in the book of James. Oh, golly. Yeah, James chapter 1 says this, just like verse 2, says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. This is just a really, really cool way to start this little letter off. James, the brother of our Lord, who, by the way, like when he starts the letter, he doesn't say like, hey, P.S., I'm Jesus's little brother, everybody.
Yeah, we threw baseball in the alley,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, exactly.
He's not bragging. You know, he's not shared a bed for, you know, we shared a bunk bed for 8 years.
Like, are you wondering if he was left or right-handed? He was left-handed.
Yeah.
I mean, I just know that because we're brothers.
Why did you pick left-handed?
because it would be more rare.
Yeah, yeah, okay, cool.
He's probably ambidextrous, so.
Probably.
Are we on theologically shaky ground right
yes,
now?
Yes, because okay. One time I made a comment in here that I still have to think about that I was theologically incorrect.
Oh, did it involve Latin?
No, it involved Jesus. Yes, yeah, it did. Took me a second. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Okay, yes. So, yeah, James doesn't say, hey, this is, hey, Jesus' little bro coming at you with some hot wisdom I'm going to drop down here. Yeah. No, he says, I'm a servant of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm.
It's really cool. But then he says this, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. That word trial is it's the same Greek word that they would use for like temptation. It's the same word you would use for, it's a word that means like an experiment.
Mm.
It's like you go through something that's like, it's like, we're going to see what happens here. And it's like, it's a training ground. It's a training scenario.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think like when we go through struggles and problems and trials, it's like there's your knee jerk reaction, which is, I hate this. I don't want it. I want it to end. I want it to end immediately. And I am sad, or I'm angry, or I'm afraid. And it's just all those kinds of things. And what James is saying is, yes, it's like, of course, that makes perfect sense. We're going to do something different here because there's something that we know.
Hmm.
And the thing that we know is God is developing something in me. And this little experiment is part of that process.
Mm-hmm.
So the considerate is, we're doing a lot of words in the original language today, but the considerate is like, considerate pure joy is, it's an accounting word.
Okay.
Like to count, to like, to put it in this account or that account.
Yeah.
Like you have like, you know, Christy and I look at all of our money for the month and then we say, okay, we're putting this much in groceries, we're putting this much in whatever taxes, we're putting this much in, you know, kids sports, you know, we're putting this much in whatever.
Yeah.
these bills, those bills, whatever. And it's like, okay, we're going to look at the budget of our emotions and I'm going to budget joy for trials.
Okay. Like, that's cool.
Whoa. Yeah. Really? And he's like, yes, you got to take control of it. I mean, honestly, I haven't thought about it before this moment, but it is kind of like budgeting. It's like, you could just live your life in such a way that like you get paid from your job and you just spend money that you think you need. And it's like, maybe you'll do okay if you make a bunch of money, maybe you won't. But if you budget, then you know how everything's going to come out.
Right.
And it's like, and what James is saying is like, we need to think like that, or everything is going to bowl us over.
Mm.
Everything is going to be a hurricane.
Right.
And it's like, and the thing is like, it can be a hurricane or it can be a training ground.
Mm.
And you know, that feels tough and it feels hard, but it's like, it's like, what if you know, because I hear something like that and I'm like, I can't do that. Mm. I can't consider it pure joy when I go through a hard time.
Right.
And it's like, okay,
here's a big word.
Pure. It's yeah. Like, just like, oh, I love this.
Right.
Or as Andy Morgan used to say, like, oh, this is milk and cookies. We'd be doing something hard in his carport, like in a workout. And he'd be like, oh, younger, this is milk and cookies for me. It's milk and cookies, you know? But if I considered it a training ground, then it's like, okay, well, you don't start out in a new workout being amazing at it. You start out trying it.
Right.
And so that's my thing for us, for me and for anybody that's listening to this is like, let's try it. Let's try some lightweight. Let's try a couple of reps. Mm. The next hard thing that comes, I'm going to have my initial emotion and then I want to try to budget some joy for it and the difference is there's something I know. God is producing something. He's building something. I'm maturing, you know, and this is not like, this is not the way, you know, in Calvin and Hobbes, Calvin's dad is like, yeah, this builds, you know, this is character building. And it's like, so I'm trying to become a more amazing person on my own right or something like that. It's like, no, this is God is doing something in me.
Right.
God is at work.
Yeah.
I'm not building my own character. God is maturing me. Mm. And that's a different thing. That's a different thing than me perfecting myself, right. You know?
Yeah, it's, I think that's so cool because it's stinky sometimes about our faith, like that we, a lot of times the way that we get shaped and grown and changed is through this, is through trials and through temptation, all that stuff. Just like, hey, like, I'm going to throw you into this, figure it out. Or like, this hard thing's about to happen, figure it out. And like, that's what, I heard you describe this once when I was like 15, but it's like, you asked a bunch of high schoolers, a bunch of high school football players, like, what happens when you work out? And it's like, well, you're literally breaking down muscle fibers and they rebuild themselves and your muscles are a little bit stronger and bigger. And it's like, okay, if we thought of it like that, it does, it's kind of funny because the joy kind of inserts itself. Like if you think about a trial and a hard thing as a thing that you're going to come out of and your faith's going to be stronger. That makes me start to smile a little bit.
Well, yeah, because I have to depend on, I'm literally going to have to depend on Jesus and believe some things I can't see in order to make it through this and get to sleep tonight.
That's literally, when I think about myself at my spiritually healthiest in hard things, that's the mindset I get to.
Right.
Like, when I'm in the middle of something really hard, and I have this moment where I realized, I haven't stopped praying today. I haven't stopped begging Jesus to help me.
Yes.
See, that is when I'm like,
keep going. That's awesome.
Oh, okay. I get what's going on now. You know, it's like, it's not that you're just trying to punish me. It's not that you're trying to make me terrible. It's not that you're trying to, it's not that you're not trying to make me angry. Like all of that, all those thoughts kind of bust. They kind of just like, there's a little bit of an explosion when I realize it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I haven't stopped praying. I haven't stopped wanting to find a scripture to help me think about this. It's like, oh,
yeah,
okay. And then you kind of start to smile a little bit.
Well, you know that thing when you're in the middle of a workout that's not comfortable, that you don't like.
Every Friday, yeah.
But you know, when I leave this building, I'm going to be glad I did this.
Yes.
When you've had that experience enough times, you can actually tell yourself that in the hard moments of the workout. And when you've had that enough times, you can actually tell yourself that in the moments where you want to stay in your bed instead of getting up and go into the workout.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I'm going to be glad I did this.
Right.
And that, and I think that's why I think James's level in verse 2 of chapter 1 is it's not attainable. It's mm-hmm. like somebody that's never stood on a skateboard and you're like, go do a kickflip.
Right.
It's like, no, you can't. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is, to me, I'm pointing the finger at myself, is, okay, but what I'd like to do is, like, stand on the skateboard and hold the wall and start moving. I don't want to just look at this and say, I can never consider my problems pure joy.
Okay.
What?
I thought you were going to say, I can never ride the skateboard. That's how I think about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's just like... Yeah. It's like, I can't start at the hardest trick. And, right. And so I don't want my mindset to be, so I'll never even attempt it.
Right. Put a nickel in there.
Yeah.
Put it in the next week, put a dime.
Yeah.
Budget for it.
Start budgeting some joy into my hard times.
Yeah. That's cool. That's a good thought. Sometimes we say good things on this.
Well, I love what you're saying about, like, you've been through a hard thing and you realize, like, I literally prayed all day today. Or I really, really needed Jesus today.
Yeah.
And if I hadn't gone through this, I wouldn't have.
Right.
Mm.
That's cool.
That's good. Well, to take it back to the beginning, it's like, James is like, go dunk hole number 3 right here. Just go get a hole in one. It's like, I'm not going to be able to do that.
One day.
Yeah.
I never have.
You've never dunked one?
No.
That surprises me.
I don't know many people who have. It's very hard.
Yeah. I watched it happen one time at a Young Life golf tournament.
Who?
I don't remember the guy's name, but there was one hole where, like, it was like on one of the holes that's on Edgemoor. And it was like, if you dunk this one, you get a car. And he got it.
He did it.
He dunked it. Yeah, I think Austin and Eli were like 2 years old.
I've never witnessed a hole in one before.
So I guess it was like 14 years ago.
So yeah, I wonder if I was playing.
Because the reason I know Austin Eli thing is that Dickie Jenkins and I were together standing there, and we were talking about Austin Eli.
Oh wow!
When the guy dunked it, it was amazing.
Yeah, I've never. One time, I played a little par three course with Cam Gregg, who's played golf like twice, and yeah. He was like 4 inches away.
Gosh,
I was just like,
well, that's the thing about an athlete like that. It's like that's not fair.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this was fun.
It was fun. Thanks for joining us, folks, and thanks for your encouraging text messages mm-hmm. and stuff. It's hard to describe how much that means to us.
Right.
We love y'all.
Love you.
I'm Lee.
I'm Thomas.
This has been Ancient and New.
Take a walk on the wild side. It'll ease your mind. I hope that you'll find me there. Take a walk on the bright side. And try to be kind. I hope that you'll find me there. Breathe in the air and give a little what you want the most. And try not to boast. I hope that you'll find me there. Oh, I hope that you'll find me there. Breathe in the air and when you're beaten down and looking around for something to hold on. What you want the most is someone to hold you and feel your heart beating. Just take a walk on the wild side. It'll ease your mind. I hope that you'll find me there. Oh, I hope that you'll find me there. Breathe in the air.